everybody. Welcome. Happy Labor Day. Happy Monday Labor Day to everybody. Hope everybody's having a wonderful long weekend. And we're going to jump into The Other Way, episode 10. There's a lot to unpack in here. Hey, Gina. Hey, Green Dog. Kara's here. Yeah, we're going to jump into The Other Way, and we're going to talk about that. And for bit. Yeah, we're going to kind of unpack this episode. How are you?
How are you?
I'm good. Good. How was your holiday?
You know, just another day at work.
Oh, you had to go. No, fair. You had to go to work. I'm sorry. You should have. Yep. They should have gave you the day off.
Yep.
But yeah, we're going to get into episode 10 of The Other Way, and we're going to talk about a little bit of Forbidden Love. There was a heated argument on Forbidden Love that I want to unpack with you. But first, we're going to get into this Other Way episode, because Statler and Dempsey have been on the road for a bit now. They've crested the van. Things were going fine. And then Dempsey made a statement that Statler caught, where she said, "I'm not worried about money, because I have a lot of money left over, you know, from the sale of my car, and I'm set." She also mentioned she had 9 months of wages that she put away. So it kind of opens up this conversation that Statler is, you know, putting in our minds as well. So Dempsey calls Statler and says, "Hey, I need $6,000 from you in order to secure this van." And she said it as though, you know, when someone calls you and say they need a certain amount of money, that normally means they don't have it, right? Like, that was my first, because I was like, well, if she already had the money and the van was going in her name, why is it that Statler needed to come up with the $6,000? You know, because, and we're going to get into the titling of the van too, but I wanted to get into this money thing. Do you think that Dempsey is sitting on thousands and thousands of dollars and she's bleeding Statler dry? Do you think that, because that's kind of what Statler has been trying to sell us. Do you think that that's really what's going on?
I think that maybe she has money from what she sold. But if you and I are going 50-50 in anything, a car, anything, and it's ours, mine and yours,
right,
and I've already paid my half, and they say, okay, well, you need to pay this much, I'm going to tell you that I need that money to secure it, to make sure that you're going to pay it. Otherwise, it's all going to be on me. So,
right.
But in a relationship, you have to have that trust. I trust that you're going to pay it. So I may have just paid it, but at the same time, Statler's such a crybaby about everything that I probably wouldn't have trusted her either. And as many times as she says, "I'm the sole breadwinner, I'm the sole breadwinner, and I'm going to take care of you," yes, I would want that money. I don't think Dempsey's wrong.
Well, Dempsey is saying, in her defense, Statler kind of rushed them moving and doing this life. She said that, hey, if you're really worried about money, because this isn't the first time Statler brought up, hey, you know, money-wise, we could go into debt, this isn't a good thing. She's like, well, let me work another 6 months, and I won't sell my trailer, and we'll wait. And she said, no. Statler was like, let's do it. I'm going to financially take care of you. And I think Statler is the definition of biting off more than she can chew, right? Like, I think that she didn't know what she was getting into. So they leave the gas station, and the to fill it up is 111 pounds. Or no, it was 88 pounds, but it was 111 US dollars. I think that's how it was. And that's not crazy, right? Like, if you drive the SUV, you're looking at 100. Like, you drive a big truck. Like, how much does it cost to fill up your
120
truck?
$120.
Okay, so she's making it seem like she's being ripped off.
Yep.
But for living, and I'm like, I think that the definition of biting off more than you can chew and not doing your homework, you got yourself into something without doing any research. And yeah, remember I brought up to you a couple weeks ago, I was like, how is she going to guarantee internet connection anywhere in the world, right?
Yeah.
Because I know that depending on where you are, you know, and it happens with cell phone signal too, depending on where you are, the amount of internet and the speed of your internet varies. And if you're always constantly moving, how, because I was like, working from home in a van sounds like an awesome gig, right? You can see the world. You could literally leave work and go see the Eiffel Tower, like, depending on where you are.
Yeah.
But I always question, how can you guarantee that you're going to have a strong enough internet connection to work? And she doesn't. Again, she's doing things without doing research. She's not doing her homework. She's not actually making a plan. And I think that blaming everything on Dempsey is an easy scapegoat, right? Like, it's easy for you to find somebody to put all of your problems on and say it's their fault. But I don't think that everything is Dempsey's fault. I think that Dempsey holding on to 9 months of wages and then keeping, she said it was 500 pounds left over from the sale of the car. I don't know. My main issue is they didn't share financial records. So who knows?
Sounds
so,
like they haven't shared much. It's not, Statler didn't ask the right questions. And I don't think Dempsey did either. But the more I watch Statler, the more I realize how Dempsey is the one that's going to be. Statler may be providing financially, but Dempsey's taking care of her. Statler doesn't know her ass from a hole in the ground. She's driving me more and more crazy every single time. It's like she's not actually an adult.
Well, another issue I have with her, I don't want people to hate me for this, but she has victim mentality. Absolutely. And I know a lot of people that have this victim mentality. Like, no matter what they do, it'll be 100% their decision. They'll do it, they'll make the choice, and then they'll complain and become the victim. And it's like, well, you willingly entered into this situation, right? So you're not 100% the victim. A victim is when you're literally walking down the street and somebody attacks you randomly for no reason, through no fault of your own. You don't know this person, it was random. That's a victim.
Yeah.
And I think Statler has always had the mentality of, no matter what happens to her, she's the victim. The common denominator is, I'm the one that's suffering. And I think that that has a lot to do with, like, past trauma, like past situations, past relationships that she's been in, where she feels that the person screwed her over, which could be, but she carries it on into her new relationships and she uses it as her reasoning as to why she makes bad decisions. And then she doesn't take accountability for her bad decisions. She just throws the accountability on the person that she's with. And it's like, I don't want to fall into the trap of thinking that Dempsey's a bad person just because Statler wants us to think that. Right? Because I told you from before, when we first met her, I didn't see her as a bad person or a user or a liar or a scammer. And I still don't.
I don't either.
But when I did hear about the 9 months of wages that she said she had put away and the money left over from the car, I would love for her to have been more open and honest with what's going on. But again, Statler's not talking about money, so why should Dempsey, right? Like, that conversation door hasn't been open.
Yeah.
So why should she be the one to start it? Statler should be the one starting the money conversation because she's the constant worrier.
Yes.
And I'm like that too. Like, Carr, honestly, if you called me right now and said, hey, I'm gonna quit your job, I'm gonna take care of you for the next year, I'm not the type of person that could just quit my job and just hope and pray that you're gonna take care of me. I'm a constant worrier. I have to have a plan A, B, and C. And I think that Statler,
if you had all your wages for 9 months set to the side and I said, okay, I'm gonna take care of you, you know that you're okay. So you're not stressed about it. You're like, okay, then that's okay. But that would be on me for not asking you, okay, how much is that? How much, what if we go somewhere and I don't have internet and I fall down and I break my leg and I can't go to work? Then we're going to have to rely on what you have saved. How much is that? I would need to know that before I just said, okay, well, I'll just take care of you. Don't worry about it.
Well, right. You know, like, I think it's crazy that people enter into these serious relationships, marriages. I guess this is like a joint living situation without talking about money. And so I want to talk about titling of cars. I don't live in the UK, so I don't know, but Statler said that you can only put a car in one person's name. I know that that's not true here. I know that you can jointly purchase a car.
Right.
And I know that you can jointly title a car. But again, I don't know I've never owned a car in the UK, so I don't know. But so like we were saying before, if we were going in half on a van, and it would be mine and yours, I'm paying it $30,000, I'm paying $15,000, you're paying $15,000. Would you be comfortable with me saying, okay, so since I'm picking up the van, I'll put it in my name?
Yes, I would, for a couple of different reasons.
Okay.
Number one, we're on opposite sides of the country.
Right.
But we're still in the same country. It would be very hard for you to put a car in my name without me being there, number one.
Yes.
But also, if you told me, write a letter, we'll sign it, whatever, and I didn't, then that's also on me. Like, Statler is, so people don't know the conversation that they've had. and right? how Dempsey is slowly leaking things. You said you'd take care of me. We didn't know that. You said you'd do this. We didn't know that. You said right. you'd do that. We didn't know that. Now all this little stuff is coming out, and suddenly Statler has no memory of this. I don't remember saying that. I don't remember saying that, you know? So I think that she thought Statler wouldn't throw her under the bus, but Statler's getting kind of tired of being thrown under the bus herself. And so now she's just kind of slowly leaking it. And I think that's where Statler's trying to paint this bad picture of Dempsey so that we're all believing, you know, that Dempsey's this bad person, when we all know what a shit show Statler is.
Well, right. Yeah, and I want to make sure everyone knows from the record, from day one, I've always said that Statler is 50% at fault for all of this, if not more, because she doesn't ask questions, she doesn't plan. Remember, I described her as the traveling friend, where you go, you have one friend who's like the travel agent. They book everything, they book the hotel, they book the flight, they rent the car, they get the tickets, and then the other friend that just shows up and they're like, how much money do I need to Venmo you for everything? I don't care. And that's Statler. She didn't ask questions. She just hoped things were going to work out. And you know, when you enter in a situation and you just hope it's going to work out, there's a possibility that it's not, because your lack of planning, your lack of input, your lack of interest in your future is it's on you. And it's like, I hate the victim mentality in that aspect, because everyone else is always the bad guy.
Yeah.
And you know, the one thing I learned after I got out of that cult and I went to therapy was, you have to take responsibility for things that you did. Yes, there are horrible human beings around you who do horrible things. But sometimes you, when you're divvying up accountability, it's never 100% here, 0% here. It's never going to end up that way. There's always somebody who's going to get accountability in every aspect. And I know that sounds bad, but it's like, yeah, even when there's a murderer, obviously, you look at the murderer as 100% accountable, but there's sometimes situations where the person had a chance. Like, for instance, Shekinah. Shekinah has the opportunity to rid her life of Sarper after he got physical, grabbed her phone, ripped her hair out of her head, but she's got to go back to him.
Yep.
So when we're doing accountability here, Sarper is a piece of shit human being, right? We want to give him 100% accountability for that, but we have to divvy a little accountability to Shekinah, because she's going to go back and allow him to treat her bad again.
Yeah.
And unfortunately, sometimes that situation ends with someone's life being taken away.
Yeah.
And it's hard to do that, because we don't ever want to say, oh, Sarper isn't 100% at fault. He's an idiot.
Yeah.
But we have to know that it's our choices sometimes that put us in these horrible situations where we're unsafe and where we're allowing terrible things to happen to us. So I feel like, when it comes to Statler, I get so tired of her, because she's just like, well,
I feel like there's so many things that this girl, she's, for lack of a better term, very stupid, because like, just like getting gas, she's like, whoa, that's so expensive. I only pay $30. So she's making it seem like the gas is so much more expensive there. Nah. It's not that it's more expensive there. It's the vehicle that you're driving has a bigger fuel tank, plain and simple. Then she acts all weird about, oh, you pump the gas first and then you pay. I'm in Oregon. First of all, it just got passed this year that we can pump our own gas. So for my entire life, you pull up at a gas station, someone else comes and pumps your gas. And it was actually a crime if you got out and pumped your own. So
really?
It was just recently passed that you have the option to pump your own gas, but we still have fuel attendants. So
I think that Pennsylvania is still there, right? With the pumping your own gas thing. That's so interesting, because yeah, but again, no matter what happens, no matter what the situation, no matter what the number is on the cash register that she owes, it's not her fault. It's Dempsey did this to me. Dempsey made me do this. And people can't make you do things unless there's like a weapon pointed at your head. You know, like they can't make you do things. You can make a decision to be manipulated by someone, but they can't make you do anything. And I think this situation with her, it's just irritating, because yeah, she's gonna get the raw end of the deal. She took out a personal loan for a van that's not in her name, and she took out an advance at her job for a van that's not in her name. But Dempsey didn't make her do any of that stuff.
But you know, another comment that she made was, you could leave me in another country while I'm on the toilet. Okay.
Yeah.
First of all, the toilet's in the van. That's your own dumbass fault for getting out. So, like, nothing this girl says makes any sense, ever. How would you feel if you were in love with someone, you chose to do this van life, you trusted this person, you've gone 50-50, and they're like, oh, but I don't trust you, and you could leave me in another country. I would pull up at the next stop and tell her to get the out.
Well, that's like, the thing. Out. I don't think Statler ever loved Dempsey. I don't think Statler's ever, like, genuinely loved anyone. And I think she's admitted that to us. In every situation, she has to be the one doing the most for the other person in order to feel love. Because being adopted, she has that abandonment feeling. So she feels like, no, she's not good enough, which she is. But in her mind, she's like, I'm not good enough for anyone to stay with me, so I have to do something for them. And I think, you know, I think that she's never going to fully trust anyone. It's not Dempsey. Dempsey is just insert name here with Statler. All of her relationships are going to go this way because she just doesn't have that true, genuine love or trust because she doesn't know what it is. She's never been in a real healthy relationship. She doesn't know what it's like to be truly loved and to truly love someone else. And unfortunately, like, Dempsey is just a victim of Statler's bad relationship trauma, right? Like, I'm not saying that Statler is innocent in this either. Statler did a lot of this on her own, and now she's like, because I call it like what my mom used to say it when I was younger, like, dig a pit, you know, because if I would lie and she would catch me lying, she's like, okay, keep digging your pit with your shovel because you're going to fall right in your pit. And I feel like that's what Statler's doing. She keeps digging and digging and digging. She's just going to fall right in, and it's going to be too deep. She can't get out because she's too deep into this BS. And unfortunately, she's just stuck. And Dempsey is not going to be the last person that she claims screwed her over. Everybody that she gets in a relationship is going to be the same story.
Absolutely. You know, it's like, if two people, if you and I said we're going to do this, we're going to move into a van, we're going to go 50-50, and you told me you need $15,000, mm-hmm. and I need $15,000, and you're going to go do all this stuff, and you need the money from me right now. First of all, I need to see everything you're doing. I need to be on the phone with you. We'll FaceTime while you're at the dealership so I can talk to the guy also, so that I can give him my personal information so that he can add me to the title. That's a responsibility on me as an adult, making sure where my money goes and all of that stuff. But also, if I have abandonment issues, I am not going to commit to anything until I'm with the person that I'm afraid is going to abandon me. You know?
Yeah, I agree.
I need to be with you to make sure that you're serious, because we're in another country and the only thing that's locking us together is this TV show contract. That's
what right? Yeah.
If and we that's didn't have what, this contract, you'd be gone with my money.
That's what I was gonna say. A written contract when you're making financial purchases is so important, right? Like, I have friends who enter into business contracts with each other, and they've been friends for decades. They went to school together. Their moms know each other. But when they enter into a financial situation with another person, they have a written contract. And it's not that you don't trust the person, right? It's more so that you cover your ass in case. Because once you include money into anything, literally love is destroyed by money on a daily basis. So you can literally love the person. They could be your family member, your wife, your husband. It doesn't matter. You enter money into that situation and it can literally destroy any type of bond that you ever had. So I was like, she should have gotten a written contract for the van. She should have gotten a written contract of who it's, and then just write up who's gonna pay what and for how long, right? Like, if you don't trust her, enter into a contract, then the contract will cover you. Love is not a contract. Love is conditional and it can end at any moment. People wake up one day and they just decide they don't love people anymore. So, like, that's not a contract. If you really want that guarantee, put it in writing, get it notarized, and hold the person to it. The courts are there to uphold contracts. Yep. And Statler is like, oh, I don't know if she's going to stay with me. Obviously, no one does. There's literally hundreds of people who got married today who have no freaking clue if they're going to be married next year. Because you don't know. There's no guarantee. You might not. You don't know how people are going to feel. You don't even know how people are going to feel tomorrow. So like, she's expecting way too much from a relationship. She thinks that people are supposed to guarantee her things, and there's no guarantee in life at all.
I agree completely. There, I mean, we already know that they don't make it, but if we didn't know that, I wouldn't see any future in this at all.
No, that Dempsey said it tonight. She was like, if you're gonna not trust me and assume the worst of everything that I do, this isn't gonna last long. She nailed it. Like, if you assume every action that I make is against you and you're my enemy, this isn't gonna work. Like, it's...
But also another thing Statler said, back to the gas thing, she said, gosh, that was expensive. How many times are we gonna have to fill up? Are you really that stupid?
I guess
depends on where you go, how far you travel. Do you not drive your car from point A to point B 25 times and know that on the 25th time you have to fill up? So if you drive 200 miles in this van, you see what your mileage is and you go based on that. If you don't want to fill up a lot, you find a spot, you park your shit, and you go to work.
Yeah. I mean, everything that she's a nitpicker. And you know what she reminded me of for a split second? She gave me Gino vibes. It's like she was trying to be so cheap and be like, criticize everything money-wise. And this happens, you know, when one person is paying for everything, they like to criticize the other person when they need something or when they spend money. That's another form of control. Like, they're like, oh, you need this. This is how much that, because Josh and Lily are going through that right now. Anytime that they get into a fight, one person brings up how much money they spend on the other. It's like an easy way to take a jab at someone.
Yeah, but also on the same side of the coin that we're talking about, where Dempsey has X amount of dollars left, but still needed the 6,000 from Statler. So Statler takes the draw and all that stuff. Okay, because Statler didn't have it, she had to take money from work, take a loan from work. But if Dempsey would have just paid for it, then Dempsey would be broke. And in the position that Statler's in. So how is she justifying that in her head, that that's okay? That's like you having money and me saying it's not fair because you needed my portion of it. So right. I had to take a draw when you had the money to pay for me. None of that makes any sense.
Well, right. It's almost like, well, if I have to be in debt, you should be in debt.
Exactly.
Too. Right? Like, that's such a stupid way of thinking when you're supposed to be a team. Because as long as one person is winning, you're both winning, right? But she looks at it as, well, if I have debt, you shouldn't be living debt-free. You should be in the same boat as me. And again, that's not love. Yeah. That's not how relationships work. You should want, because you're a team. If one person, you ever heard the term, take one for the team? Yeah. Statler's taking one for the relationship. So at least one person has a safety net in case something goes wrong. If both of you are broke and in debt, and no one has a safety net, you're going to get screwed at some point. Yep. You need to have at least one person who has something saved up in case that van blows a tire, or you need an alignment, you need brakes, you need an alternator. You're driving around, eventually something's going to happen. Somebody has to have a safety net somewhere.
And you have to eat. So you got to be able to make sure that you can afford food.
God forbid when Dempsey gets hungry. The Statler's going to snap on her. Okay, so I want to get into Shekinah and Sarper because we got a little insight on their fight, right? We got the aftermath last week. But apparently their birthdays, because they're going on the same day and the same moment at the same time, to his part. So apparently Shekinah came with gifts for Sarper. And Sarper apparently didn't have anything, which I'm trying to understand how he can forget her birthday when they're born on the same day at the same time at the same time. So I'm not exactly sure how you could justify forgetting her birthday when y'all share the same birthday. So he didn't have a gift for her. He was like, I'm going to go buy you the vanity that she has told him four separate times she doesn't want.
Yep.
But he wanted to make sure that they stopped on the way home to get the vanity so he didn't have like empty hands on her birthday, which, you know, forgetting a woman's birthday is basically forgetting her name. It's really, really difficult to come back from that because it's literally one thing that she asked you to remember, right? Her birthday. It's literally the only thing. Or if you're married, anniversary birthday. There's two things that she expects out of you. She don't expect you to be a billionaire, but you need to know those two dates. He forgets, and then he gets really aggressive with her, and he rips her phone out of her hand, which number one red flag with violent men, right? The number one ref, the first thing you want to do is cut off outside communication. Yep. He goes for the phone first. So that's like huge, huge issue for me, number one. Then in the process, she's making excuses because she's like, oh, well, he didn't try to rip my hair out. It just got caught. And then I'm like, no, I don't want to hear that. If your hair got ripped out and he was the person who ripped it out, he ripped your hair out. Period. End of discussion. I don't care if it got caught on your phone. He shouldn't have had your phone. Yep. Right? Like, I'm so tired of the justification. Hey, Kobe. I'm tired of the justification of bad behavior, especially by women, for men. Don't justify bad behavior. If he did something stupid, violent, and ignorant, call it exactly what it is. You know, and I don't want to hear her say, oh, well, yeah, he was upset and triggered. I'm like, I don't care. I don't care if he was pissed, triggered, upset, bleeding, angry. I don't care. He doesn't have the right to take your phone away. You're in Turkey. Who do you know who can help you in a situation outside of him? You know no one. So he's going to take away your only means of communication so he can control you and keep you in his apartment. Yep. That is scary. That's so scary, right? Like, imagine if she's trying to get away. There was no camera crew present. It was just her and him. And now she has no phone. And when would we find out that she was missing, right? Like, when would we even find out what was going on? Like, I'm so sick of all of these relationships turning into abuse. And it's like, when did this become the new normal for the show? Like, we want to watch people argue and the struggles with the visa and getting accustomed to living in another country. That's entertaining for me. But ripping somebody's hair out of their head from the root, that's not entertainment for me. That's somebody's mom. She has a daughter. Her daughter could see this.
Yep.
Right? Like, this is not something that we should be finding as entertainment.
Not at all. It's ridiculous. And then she sits down. She's going to try to justify his actions. It just, it's ridiculous. And it's more bullshit that TLC is allowing to happen. They got so many good ratings from Angela being such a psychotic, crazy person. They got, you know, all these ratings from all this different violence from Nicole and Mahmoud and all these ratings. And now they're seeing that it's okay. This all started with, well, obviously, Angela and Michael. Angela's always been an abusive piece of shit, but...
Oh, but you know what? Somebody said to me that it started with Anfisa, and I didn't even realize that. Anfisa was always launching things at George.
That's
and
true.
Then it clicked. I was like, oh my gosh, she never physically put her hands on him, but she was always hitting him with things.
See, and aside from Angela and Michael, the first one that I remember very well is Chris and Jamie. Like, that. That's when that shit should have been put to a stop. That they should have removed Chris entirely, right then and there. And that.
Yeah, and they even let her attend the tell-all, which I think is crazy. She literally, this was because Anfisa, she never, like I said, she never put her hands on him that we saw. Yeah. But she was throwing makeup bags, phones, cups, anything that she could get her hands on, she launched at this man. We watched it, and I was like, man, I didn't catch it back then. But, like, now I would have noticed it. Because, you know, back then, we hadn't went through the Me Too movement. We hadn't went through the sign. We're now looking for signs, and we're now giving people the opportunity to show it. And I think that back then, we were really dumb to what the signs were and what we should be looking out for. And luckily, after all of the women were empowered enough to speak out, they told their stories. They gave us, you know, step by step what they went through and how they were manipulated and lied to and hurt. Now we can spot this stuff from a mile away.
Yep.
Right? Like, we can literally see these little actions and behaviors, and we're like, that's a bigger thing.
Yeah.
That's something big down the line. And I think that watching this and seeing the way that this isn't the first time that he snapped on her. Remember when her last season, when her sister was in Turkey and her sister was questioning him, and he got angry and he called her a bitch. Do you remember that?
Yep.
He's like, starts screaming and cussing. And I'm like, this is really concerning, you know, like, and even her sister, she kind of sister won't even speak to her anymore.
Yep.
And I am 100% on board. I'm not about tearing apart families, but I'm on board with showing somebody tough love. Like, if you don't want to take care of yourself, I'm going to do whatever I can to show you that I care. And sometimes silence and separation shows people that they care. Because I think that now that this happened, Shekinah probably would love to pick up the phone and call her sister. And her sister might not pick up. And I think that might be the tough love you need.
Absolutely.
To show I've made a mistake. The people that care about me won't speak to me because I'm making excuses for this monster. And I think this might actually be the best. I mean, we do know that this guy has landed in LA and they're filming. So I don't want to get too excited about her making the right decision, right? But I do think that if she doesn't see what's going on at this point, she's never going to see it.
Yep. I can't help but wonder if he packed up his bottle collection to move here.
Oh, yeah, and put it in her house. I would not put it past him. I would not put it. This man, she has everything that she's asked him to do or change for her. He has made it seem like it has been the hardest compromise, and that she's the luckiest woman alive that he would even consider her request. And I think that's another That's another form of making someone feel that they're so small, they don't deserve anything. So when you do one tiny thing, they feel like they won the lottery with you. It's like a manipulation tactic. They're like, oh, well, they're so stubborn. I got them to do this, so they must really love me. I was like, no, it means that they don't love you at all, because this is a small, tiny thing that you're asking for and they won't do it. So that's the opposite. But again, when you're in love, your mind and your eyes, they portray things differently. So for us, who have absolutely zero love for Sarper, we can see everything that's going on with this guy. And we can see that his behavior is part of a huge destructive, self-destructive, self-sabotage situation.
I don't care how in love with somebody I am. You could own my entire heart. And the second you touch me, it's done. It is done. But a whole nother side of me.
That I think that love is blinding, but I think that if somebody gets, because I used to think, oh, if somebody gets out of control or screaming or they throw something, that's a sign too. I think that's a step. But if somebody gets in your face and or swings or slaps or pushes, any type of physical contact that is in a violent way, I think it's zero tolerance for me. Like, it's just zero tolerance. And it's like, oh, well, maybe they were triggered about, I don't care. I'm sorry. I'm not Jesus Christ. I didn't die on the cross for your sins. I'm not like super, super compassionate for your triggers. Okay. Like, if you're going to hit me, I'm not going to move forward. Yeah. Like, for real, like, I would never in a million years hit somebody that I love, let alone, I don't want to hit anybody. I'm not a violent person, but if I love the person, I'm definitely not going to hit.
Absolutely.
You, right. Like, I'll remove myself from the situation. I'll leave. I'll get in the car and go somewhere until I feel calm. Like, there's a million things that you can do other than hit someone. And I'm just sick of people trying to justify. They're like, oh, well, it was a triggering. I don't care. Okay. Like, I don't want to hear about, they're like, oh, it was traumatic because of their past. I don't want to hear any of that. Again, I'm not Jesus. You know, don't come to me with confession. I have no compassion for you. You should have made a better choice. Like, that's the worst possible choice you could have made.
The little boy crying wolf. You know, we watch these people accept this abuse over and over and over and over again. Now, what, like, if Shekinah calls her sister or somebody that knows what's going on, anybody that knows what's going on, it's like Angela. If Angela called for help because she needed it, nobody's going to believe her because she's such a vile human. Exactly. And we've all seen her behavior. So you can't try to, you know, paint someone as a good person when you know that they're a piece of shit. And then when you finally reach your breaking point, you want help. No, you're the one that keeps going back for this and justifying it. She's definitely the little boy that cried wolf.
Yeah, and that's the scary part, because it's like her sister won't talk to her. It's like when she really does need to escape him, like you said, who's going to pick up the phone at that point? Because they're already sick of it. They're tired of being the only one who cares. Also, I want to talk about this Josh and Lily fight, because he said that everywhere he goes, now I've noticed this in Florida too, like when you drive, there's a lot of flashing lights. There's camera, red light cameras everywhere. Mm-hmm. So like when you're driving, especially at night, you just see like these really light flashes everywhere. So he was asking Lily, like, hey, how come every time we go into a parking garage, we're on the street, we're on the highway, there's flashes of light? And she didn't respond. She just was like, oh, okay, uh-huh. And he thinks that it's like a translation issue. He thinks like sometimes when she doesn't know specifically what he's saying, she doesn't like have a follow-up, like, what do you mean by that? She just kind of ignores him. Yeah. And it kind of shifted into him asking the same question over and over for 2 days. And then she got really pissed off and they got into this really big argument. And she basically was like, well, if you're not happy, just leave. Now, remember when I told you, I was like, so he's a kept man, right? So the one thing I would worry about the most being a kept man is if she wakes up one day and just decides she doesn't want to keep me anymore. Yep. And I feel like that when she said that, she's like, well, if you're not happy, then just go. And I was like, see, that would be the one thing I can't live with, knowing that my life is only where it is. And I live the lifestyle that I live as long as she feels the need to keep me. And I feel like that's really what he was trying to tell her. He was like, you should want to work it out. You shouldn't just say, oh, we had a bad day today, so you could leave if you want. No, that's not love. That's just basically infatuation. They're like, well, I can tolerate you, but you know, if we have a bad day, just go. And that's kind of scary because he's all the way in China. He sold his house.
Yep.
So it's like, it's really scary to know that she just, after one fight, mind you, No physical, no throwing anything, just an argument. She's like, you can go.
I don't know. I love Josh and Lily. At first, I thought he was a giant man child with his Legos and all the things. But I love them. I absolutely love them. And he did say that every time they fight, she's throwing out the divorce word and throwing out the, you don't want to, we're unhappy, we don't need to be together. That I couldn't handle. Like the first time you say it, it's like, okay, I realize you're really angry, but we can't say that again. But if it's an every time thing, I would already be packing my shit and canceling the wedding.
Well, what I don't like about that, and we see that a lot, I think Jasmine of all people brought it up. When people hang a green card over someone's head, they're like, I'll just send you back, or you can just go back, or I'll rescind the visa. That's really belittling. Absolutely. To basically say, if I don't like what you're doing, I'll send you back. This person is not a doll or a toy or a couch.
No.
Okay? You don't send people back. Yeah. I think that's the most disrespectful thing that you can say to another human being. And it also makes them feel really small and helpless and worthless.
Yeah.
Because they're all the way over here. They've left maybe kids, family, moms, sisters, dogs, whatever. They've left a lot to be with you. I'm not saying that, you know, you owe them anything, but you owe them at least a little respect, right? Don't just say, well, if you piss me off, I'm going to send you back. You're not worth my time. Because it's we don't buy people. We don't sell people. So the idea of sending someone back is basically saying you want a refund, right?
And he's already struggling with not being able to pitch in financially. And, you know, and then having her throw in his face all the time. You know, I spent this much. It cost me this much. I did this for you. I did that for you. But let's talk about his communication. Yes, they have a language barrier, but they're an example for the rest of the 90-day community, all of it, because they sat down, they had a whole ass adult conversation.
Yeah.
He never raised his voice, she never raised her voice, they just talked.
That's true.
And ended with, I love you, gave each other a kiss, and that was a wrap on that conversation. And that's how love works.
That's true.
But with her, you know, I would have a hard time if you're constantly telling me we need a divorce, we're not happy, you're not happy, you can go home, I spent too much money, I spent all the money, it's always me, you're not working, when you know damn good and well you brought me to your country knowing that I cannot work, and you say, here's this big luxurious house that I built for us, I put English up for you, I did this, I did that. Okay, I say thank you. I show my gratitude. I show my appreciation. That's it. Don't ever bring it up again, what you did for me. I'm here and I'm helping you, but stop throwing this shit in my face because I can't show you how much I appreciate it. And I've already expressed that I feel like less of a man because I can't financially help. All I can do is help around the house, which he's also said he does.
Well, yeah.
So,
yeah.
I think they're a really good example for how to communicate, but I think that it's also a really good example for shit not to say.
Yeah, I mean, I think Lily is a very, what's the word? She's kind of a cold person, right? Like, I feel like she says what she means. And don't get me wrong, I respect people who say exactly what they mean. They don't sugarcoat things. But, and I don't want to say this about Josh, but I feel like Josh is someone in this particular moment and situation could use a little sugarcoating.
Yeah.
You know, because like you said, he's already here. He's completely uncomfortable. He's not in a good financial place. He feels that he can't pull his weight in the relationship. So it would be nice for a little reassurance. It's absolutely not always good to call people out exactly how things look. You know, like there's a right and a wrong time for the truth. You know, and I feel like her saying, oh, well, I buy this, I do this. Yeah, you do. Obviously, you knew that. You knew that before he got here. It's not a good time to bring it up now. Maybe once he starts working, you know, longer down the line, y'all can say this. Like, oh, I bought dinner last time. It was expensive. You buy dinner next time. That's fine. But, like, throwing it in someone's face knowing they can't do anything about it, that's, you're just asking for, you know, you're asking for an argument, a fight, and making
and
somebody feel
a ton of resentment. Like, if you keep throwing it in my face, no matter how much I love you, I'm going to start resenting you. Like, you knew when you brought me here what I was capable of, and you were fine with it. And now you're throwing it in my face. I'm going to start loving you a little bit less each time you do it, because that hurts.
I agree. You can only kick somebody while they're down so many times before they lose consciousness, right? Like, you can only continually kick somebody down. And it's like, you want, they're on the ground reaching for help. Like, can you help me up? And then you're kicking them again.
Yeah.
You know, like, there's only so much that people can take before you just really tear them down. Yeah. And I think that, but like you said, they have open communication, which is way better than everybody else so far.
Absolutely.
On this season, you know, Shekinah and Sarper, she wasn't taking his calls. There's no communication. You know, people don't communicate. They don't say what they expect. They don't say what's wrong. Statler waits until she's pissed off to say something. She doesn't react to things in the moment. They don't have normal conversations. She waits until she's pissed off and she's got the nerve, and then she just starts a fight.
Yeah.
You know, like, there's healthier ways to communicate. And I think Josh and Lily have the communication part, like you said, down. They just don't know how to communicate healthy.
Yeah.
You know, like, well, I don't want to say Josh. Josh communicates pretty healthy with Lily. Lily, on the other hand, but you have to remember, I remember Riley said this in his season, European women, right? Women from a certain part of the world, they're a lot more cold and a bit serious and uncompassionate, or I don't know what the best way to describe it is. They're just a little more mean, right?
Well, in China, the women are supposed to be submissive to the men. They're supposed to, you know, follow what the men say. So this is a
I wonder if this is why she's with an American man and not a Chinese man. Chinese man would not stand for this.
Yep.
And I wonder if that is the reason why. Because, you know, being a very successful woman in a male-dominated country could make you an outsider.
Yeah.
Right? Like, men will stay away from you because it's just not culturally normal for a man to be living with a woman who makes so much money, right? Or live in a house that belongs to her and not him. So maybe the reason why she's with an American is because Chinese men have been with her and didn't stand for her BS and left her. And, you know, Josh, I don't want to say he's an easy target, but he's like a teddy bear, right?
Yeah.
Like, it's not hard for you to take advantage of him or belittle him, because he's not going to raise his voice. He's not going to scream at you, you know? So he's definitely submissive in that aspect. Even when he was hurt, he didn't raise his voice.
Yeah.
He was calm, even tempered. And I feel like maybe that's making him a target, like an easy target.
Very well could be.
Oh, so we got James and Tata this episode, and they moved into the house. The White House.
Yeah.
Right? It's this beautiful big White House. So they moved in. They had to put flooring down, wallpaper, get everything ready for, what's Lily's job? She owns a tech company. They didn't really specify, but I think they make medical devices is what she said, but they didn't specify like what type of medical devices, but I think it has to do with like health and wellness, not like heart. Nothing like that, but like health and wellness medical devices is what they said. But Josh and Lily, James and Tata, they moved into the house, and the subject of children came up again. And apparently in this culture, where are they at? They're in the Philippines, right? Right?
Yeah.
Philippines. So apparently when you get married, it's like customary that you just start pushing out kids. Because apparently, you know, they've been married for 5 years, and it's completely unheard of for someone to be married for that long to not have several kids. So every time that they literally have any type of gathering with family, they're like, where are the kids?
My question on that is every woman in the Philippines or China or anything like that, are they all just fertile? Nobody has infertility issues? Because you never hear about it.
Yeah, that's a good question. Yeah, because it's so expected and it's supposed to happen fast. What if there are, you're right, fertility issues, and how would they, I have that wonder as well, because that would be a real main reason. And it's funny because her parents haven't brought that up, because the parents
also
don't think.
I'm not trying to like single anybody out or stereotype, but you all oftentimes hear about fertility issues here and people that can't have babies. Where do they go to adopt? They go and get babies from Korea, babies from China. Like,
oh yeah,
are Asian women just fertile? Like, that I'm so curious.
It could be. I mean, and back in the day, in certain European countries as well, they had to limit how many kids that people could have because, like you said, people were just reproducing rapidly to the point where they didn't have enough space for that many people.
Yep.
And they don't do that anymore. So there's no more limit on how many kids you can have, but this was years ago. But they were telling people they could only have like one boy and one girl for yeah. a while. But they stopped that. But again, fertility doesn't sound like an issue that they have over there. And if that's true, what's their secret? Because a lot of people here would love to know, yep. you know, what they're doing or taking or eating or not eating, whatever, you know, to make sure that they're fertile. Because there's a lot of women who pay hundreds of thousands of dollars just for the chance to get pregnant,
yep.
right? The chance. There's no guarantee it's going to be a full term. So, yeah, if they are having absolutely no issues with reproduction, we should tap into whatever they yeah. got going on, right?
I know that they have the beliefs in, like, teas and tea leaves and things like that, certain things that help you be fertile. But, I mean, I don't know. It just, you just don't hear about it.
No. Oh, Indonesia. Thank you, Gina. Indonesia, not Philippines. She's from Indonesia. Okay, so yeah, they're going to be telling her parents soon about their no, well, I mean, I don't know if she doesn't want kids. It kind of seems like she wants kids because her parents want her to have kids. Mm-hmm. I can't get a straight answer out of her because it seems like she wants to do whatever her parents want her to do. I don't know what she specifically wants. I know James doesn't want kids, and I think that's super smart because honestly, they're living in her parents' house with no money. Like, having kids doesn't seem like something that should be a priority.
Not
right now, right? Like, they should have a plan. They should have their own place. They should have a job. You know, like, they should have something going on that would justify bringing another human into the world, right? Like, and I get that in their culture they could all live in that house and everybody would be fine, but like, for me, I would want to be able to self-contain and take care of my family without anybody's help, right? Like, I feel like that would make me feel more comfortable. And James feels the same way. He doesn't like the idea that her parents are going to pay off that car. And Tata was like, you know, like, whatever, that's cool, now we don't gotta pay. Like, I feel like for her, but again, she's really young and she went straight from her parents' house to James's house, back to her parents' house. She's never really had financial responsibility, yeah. right? Like, she went from mom and dad taking care of her to her husband taking care of her, now back to her mom and dad taking care of her and her husband. She never really had the worry of how are we going to pay this? It's just on us. And, you know, that's hard to deal with, you know, with James, because James is more like, this is our responsibility. It's our family. It's our bills. We need to pay it. And Tata's just like, my parents will pay that. I'll just kiss their feet.
Also, it's all good. They have a dog they had to leave behind.
And I forgot about the dog. I forgot.
It doesn't seem like they're working really hard to get the dog over there.
I forgot about the dog completely. Like, oh my God. What are they actually working towards that? Like, that is
true.
Well,
supposedly the friend took the dog to hold until they were able to secure the flight or whatever, get it, whatever shots, whatever. But that would be my number one priority because that's part of my family. Like, well, if I'm leaving, my dad's coming with me.
She literally cried when she found out she couldn't bring the dog. She was so hurt. And now, you're right, now that they're there in Indonesia, I haven't even heard a mention of the dog. That's really interesting. Very interesting. So yeah, probably children shouldn't be added into the mix, right? Like, they have priorities and children are like number 10 or 11 on the list. At this point, like, you should really be worried about securing your place to live, a job, your dog. Somebody said that she should go back to modeling because remember, she was a model in Indonesia. So that is an easy way to make money. And, you know, but it doesn't really seem like she is looking for a job or looking to go back to work. She's more so just unbothered by the financial situation. Kind of reminds me of Dempsey a little bit. Like, just unbothered. Like, yeah, there's this whole financial thing going on. Not my issue. Right? Like, cool. Somebody figure that out. I'm just going to chill and eat some banana chips and watch TV. Right? Like, and I want to achieve that level of unbothered. Right? When there's like all this shit going on around me and I'm just chilling and I would love that. Cause I'm, like I told you, I'm a worry about everything. even when things are going good, I'm thinking things are going good, so something's probably gonna go wrong. So let me start thinking about that. Like, that's how I was raised poor. So, you know, you're always looking for your next, oh my God, how are we gonna get through this? Cause that was just my whole childhood was one horrible thing after another. So I'm just always like, even if I have a bunch of money in the bank and I'm having a good time, I'm always thinking, what happens? Like, what's gonna happen? What happens if this happens? And then it's a spiraling, stressful effect. Sometimes you have to try to take a vacation from your own mind. It's like really bad.
But I don't care what country I'm in, what culture I'm in. If I do something wrong, I am not kissing anyone's feet under any circumstance.
No, even if they're gonna pay off like 15 grand for me, like, I don't know.
That's fine. I don't know.
Kissing feet, it's just, I'll shake your hand, I'll give you a hug, I'll say thank you, I'll write you a thank you letter. Yep. I'll thank you publicly, but I don't want to kiss feet. Yep. Like, that just makes me feel like I'm like some sort of peasant.
I'll tell you,
you know,
I'm sorry. If you can't accept my apology, that's on you, but put your damn socks on.
Well, yeah, you know, like, I kissing feet, and I know it's a cultural thing or whatever, but it's just, it makes me feel like I'm below someone. And again, I would just refuse your help.
Yeah.
Right at that point, because I was like, now you're making me feel like I'm like a loser. So like, I'll probably just like refuse your help. I'll just figure it out on my own. Because it's kind of belittling, you know, and I don't know if it's meant to be that way in their culture. So it's meant that you don't ask for help, you know, because I was thinking that too. I was like, maybe they do it that way so that it deters you from asking for things.
Yeah, but she literally had to kiss her mom's feet and beg for forgiveness for whatever. She did something wrong, said something wrong. That wasn't even for help.
Well, yeah, that was because they were moving back in and she was like, I don't want to be a burden to you or whatever. And then he was like, well, kiss your mom's feet.
Yeah.
Basically saying, since you're moving back in and the mom kept saying, you're never a burden. But the dad was like, well, since you're doing this, kiss your feet so she can forgive you.
Yeah.
But it was very conflicting. So I was like, so is she a burden or not?
Yeah.
Right. Because the mom was like, you're never a burden. You're my child. I don't care. I would rather you be here. But then the dad made it seem like, well, you're gonna be a burden to me, so kiss her feet, you know. Yeah. So I didn't understand
exactly. I just couldn't do that.
Yeah,
but I don't know. I realize it's a cultural thing and everything. I loved my parents so much when they were alive. I just can't imagine my parents expecting something of me. I know it's a cultural thing, but I just can't. If I told my parents I was going to kiss their feet, they'd be like, girl, get out of here. Ain't touching my feet.
I agree with you. It's interesting because I know in other cultures, I know we learned this with Asuelu, Kalani's ex. He had to send money back to his mom and he had to take care of his family. Because I remember when I was younger, I came into money. I had a good job and stuff. And I came into money and I bought my mom a Mercedes. Nothing, it wasn't new, it was used or whatever, but she was teaching and the job was something with the car she had, I don't remember. So I actually was buying a car for me and then there was another car in the lot and I got an excellent deal. And they were like, oh, if you get them both. So I bought her a car and she literally, it took me days to convince her to take it from me because she was like, I don't want anything from you. I never would want anything from you. It's not your responsibility to worry about me. And it literally took me like 2 days to get her. And I want to say I like had to go to her house and I took the keys and she opened the door and I tossed them in and I ran and jumped in my car and drove away because she didn't want it from me. So it's like, it's really interesting when we watch the different cultural differences because there's some people who are forever, like Manuel feels like he's forever indebted to taking care of his mom, dad, kids, brothers, sisters. And then in America, we have parents that, you know, you send your parents a present and they're like, I wish you wouldn't have done that.
I'm the same way with my kids. My kids buy me something. I'm like, don't waste your money on me. You've got more important things to spend your money on. I do that all the time.
See, my mom was the same way. Like when I send her like perfume, like she has a favorite perfume. So every year on her birthday, I just have it. It's like on my Amazon. And it just goes straight to her house. And she texts me and she's like, stop sending me stuff. And I was like, you can't tell me what to do. I was like, I'm not a baby anymore. Like, you can't tell me to. If I want to send it to you, send it back.
Yeah.
I was like, I'm going to do what I want to do. And she's like, I don't need anything. And I was like, I didn't ask you that.
Yep.
It's my money. Like, You can't tell what's you. I'm not eight anymore.
Yeah.
You can't tell what's you. So it's just, yeah, it's really crazy because watching the respect, and it's a lot of like stress too, especially on the men from these countries, because they feel like they can't sleep at night until they know that they've sent. Because I remember Osuelo, he was just like, I need to send my mom money. I have to give her this money. I have to do it. Because he was, it was like she could stop loving him if he didn't do it. And it's like, I can't imagine that type of stress.
Yeah, but she was such a nasty person. Go ahead and stop loving me.
I hated her. She was so evil. It's like, can you imagine? That's a mother. I know, like, mothers have such unconditional love and they're so selfless. And then there was that woman.
Yep.
I was like, what in the world? Okay, so we ran out of time. We didn't talk about Forbidden Love tonight, so we'll talk about it next week. There's one more episode to go anyway. But we, this actually was a good episode of The Other Way. So we're going to come back and talk about The Other Way and Forbidden Love and Before the 90 Days next week. Hopefully, fingers crossed, Dee Dee will be back next week. I haven't heard from her, but I'm really, really hoping. We miss her a lot. Make sure you're following Kara. She's tagging this video. Make sure you follow me on all social media platforms at George Massey, georgemassey.com. Anywhere you get your podcast, type in The George Massey Show. Thank you for staying up late with us. Everybody have a wonderful Labor Day, and we'll talk to y'all really soon. Bye.
Bye.